It's a blessing, it's a privilege, it's an honor to be able to stand here and just talk over God's word. It's just a blessing, the best I can tell. And I want to emphasize again or restate that we need to keep in mind Charlie Kirk's family. I know that little child of theirs, I lost my dad at age 9. And it was a hard thing growing up. And then to think that a coward from a distance couldn't even come up and face you would shoot a man, a coward. If you open your Bibles to 1 John 5, if you don't like the message tonight, blame it on Brother Colin. It's his fault. I got this from his last lesson, so it's up to. So you're going to have to worry. He's going to have to worry about it. So we know a lot of things. There are things that we have Google, we have all this internet, we have all these things that can give us some good information, but for the most part, it's generally useless. I mean, we find out, we see things and we hear things and then we finally decide, well, that isn't even real, you know? We see real things, we see false things, and well, for the most part, we can probably say, unless it's teaching you how to change a flat tire, it's probably useless for the most part. But we won't really go to that far. But as a boy, when I grew up, it was after my dad died. It wasn't after he died. It was while I was in the fourth grade. Mom would, on Saturday morning, she'd take me to Bartlesville. We lived in Dewey, Oklahoma, and she'd take me up to Bartlesville and give me, I think, a dollar. And I could sit there from 11 o'clock to 4 o'clock, and I could watch movies, and I could buy popcorn, and I could buy candy bars, and I could just everything a boy would want right there in that movie house, and I wouldn't exceed that dollar, and I never went away not getting something that I wanted from the concession stand. But I was watching those cowboy movies, Lash LaRue and Whip Wilson and the Durango Kid and all these different kinds of things. I grew up with those Westerns. And the neat part about watching all these old Westerns is that you can imagine it's real. May not be, probably isn't. It's pre-AI, but they were still there. But it was the kind of thing, and then as I grew, I kind of got past the Westerns and started watching the modern detective stories. Now, I'm talking about modern, back in the 60s and 70s, okay? In the Goldfinger time, where they were using technology and things. And so I've tried to go back to looking at some of these things, but the old detective stories, you see them get on a computer screen and you know darn good and well. Oh, I'm sorry. I got a signal back here. I haven't turned on something here. Did that do it? All right. But anyway, see, now I got interrupted. I'm 84. Now all I got to do is remember where I was. But the little what? Anyway, it was the thing. The thing that you had to consider was. Well, anyway, I lost it, sorry. But the thing is, growing up, when you see them using that technology, that early technology, 60s technology, well, I've been there. I've seen it, and I know some of it probably was taken off of Dick Tracy's comic strip. But you know the funny part about that Dick Tracy comic strip is? that wristwatch is real now. But you know, when Dick Tracy was using it, and they were using wireless communications back in the 40s and maybe even the 30s, they were talking about this. But you see these movies, and you see this guy answers the phone, and it's in his car, and he's got this box, and he's got a string on it, and it's got a, you know, I just can't get into it. I've seen it all. I know what, not seen that I've seen all of things, but I've seen this kind of technology, and it just doesn't interest me, because it's just, and you sit there, and you see them get something up on the screen, and they say they got that. Well, you know darn good and well they couldn't get that up there, because it didn't exist. It didn't exist until the time of the writer. And so you look at that. But lately, Brother Jerry's got me going back to the old Westerns. The problem is the new modern Westerns are so profane, you can't, they're hard to listen to. I think if you could watch them without the words, it'd be probably a pretty good Western, but there's so many of them that are so old, and they're so vile, and just the words, it just kind of bothers me. But he's kind of redirected me back to these, and I've been watching them. And I kind of compared those to the old detective stories and the old Westerns, and I got to thinking there's kind of two things that you kind of look at. We look in terms of imagination versus realism. Those old 60s, it was pretty real. I mean, it was real at some point in time, but it's not real anymore because, you know, I got to thinking too, a good bunch of you don't even know who Dick Tracy is, right? But the thing we look at and we see in imagination, if I look at an old John Wayne movie, and even going back clear back to the first ones in the 30s, my imagination can tell me that it might be real. And I can look at it from that standpoint, and I look at the realism or the portrayed realism of these more modern things. It bothers me, and I just don't like to watch it. Now, maybe you like to watch those. I don't care. That's up to you. But I look at this from my standpoint. I was born before World War II, so you know I've looked and seen a lot of stuff, but I can't say that I've seen it all, and I'm not even trying to pretend that. But when we look at all this kind of stuff, but then when we get to the book, when we get to this book, God's holy word, it's in here. But what do we do? Do we use our imagination and say, well, yeah, maybe, kind of, maybe I thought about it? Or do we sit here and think about it being realistic? It's being true. It's being honest. So that's what we kind of look at, at least from my standpoint, is that I believe every book, every chapter, every verse, and every word, even those italicized words, I believe they're God's word. You don't have to agree with me, but that's the way I believe it. And it's the kind of thing that we look at and we try to understand. My mind, as I see it, relates to belief in terms of faith. I believe, and I have the faith because I believe. In Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I know somebody turned on these lights a while ago, and before they were turned on, there was a hope in their heart that when they flipped that switch, it was going to happen. Well, it did happen. But his faith triggered that switch, right? Same with air conditioning, same way we got in our cars tonight to come to church. We had the faith and the belief that we put that key in there. Well, she doesn't have a key, but my car has a key. I have to have a key. Start it. And, you know, one day she said, I got a push button. You know, this car got a push button start. My 49 Chevy had a push button start. So, you know, what's new? You know, I don't know. But we stop and we think about all these things. I know somebody came here earlier this afternoon, probably Gabe or Brother Colin, turned things on so it'd be comfortable in here. I'm certain that happened. And the other thing we look at in Romans 10:17, so by faith cometh hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's a thing that we need to know. And I hope and I believe that all the, what my God, Lord Jesus, wants me to know, I know. And here we're going to start in verse 13 of chapter 5. We're going to 13, 14, and 15. It says, these things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we will know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Let's pray. Dear Lord, my God, my Father in heaven, God, I do thank you, Lord. I thank you for blessing each of us. I thank you for watching over us. I thank you for each person that's here. And I pray your blessing on us all, Lord. Help us. Give me the clarity of voice and the clarity of mind and the wisdom that I need, Lord, to present this message, Lord. It's a simple message, and it's not going to probably take long, but help me, Lord. Give me that wisdom I need, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. The lid's staying off this time. But see, the phrase that I want to look at is in verse 13. Just this simple phrase that says, that ye may know. What's our Bible about? I mean, we know that from the front cover to the back cover is Jesus. We know that. We know that thing, but it's also that ye might know. You start in the front and you go to the end so that you can know something about that, and it's a real thing. It's not an imagination. It's not an imaginary thing. It's not something that we need to think about or consider. We know that God wants us to know a lot of things. But I'm going to stick with these few verses here, and we'll try not to cover the whole Bible. We'll try to do the simple thing. But the first thing is in the verse it says, "These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." It's eternal life. It's not sorta, it's not kinda. But the thing that we need to keep in mind is in that phrase, it's conditional. It's for believers, really. It's for those of us that think we know, or we're going to know, but we need to understand that we have to do something, that we have to believe, we have to know what we're about, and that's what he says it later, is that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God, Jesus. See, that's the thing we need to keep in mind and know, but it's everlasting. It tells us in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." That word "that," whosoever, makes it conditional. We've got to believe. We've got to know something to believe, to accept him. It's a thing that God wants us to know. But in John 3:16, it tells us it's everlasting. Other verses will tell us eternal. Others will say it's eternity. Others say it's for forevermore. But if we found a synonym for all of them, they're synonyms for each other. They all mean the same thing. You and I, we had a starting point at conception. That's where we began. God didn't begin. God's always been. Jesus the Christ, he had a beginning as a man. He was had conception through the Holy Spirit. That man had to start. God didn't. Man did. But the man, Jesus. And we stop and we think about those things. My God is eternal. He's forever. He will never be different, anything less than that. He will never be anything greater than that, because you can't be greater than eternal. It's Him, and it's Him alone. So we kind of thing we keep in mind, and what we're trying to say is that He wants you to know that it's everlasting. It is forevermore. And then in verse 13, it also comes up here and says that you may believe. That you may believe on the name of the Son of God. No. In Romans 10:9 it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Two things in that verse. The first is that if I confess my Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, which I have just done, and I believe that God has raised Him from the dead, salvation has happened. But see, I knew something. I knew what God wanted me to do in that. I confess that Jesus is the Savior. And I also believe in my heart that God raised Him from the dead. And then it tells us, thou shalt be saved. So that's the important part of what we want to do, is confess God. Confess Jesus to God. And all with our mouth, but we need to believe in our heart. Paul tells us in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I found a verse one time in Joel 2:32. And I'm pretty certain that this is the verse that Paul was quoting. And in the first half of it, it says, and this is in Joel 2:32, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Let's go back to Joel. It hadn't changed, has it? I got saved the same way with Joel as I'm getting saved today through Paul. It's the same story, same song, same dance. It's the same thing. See, we need to understand and know that we will be saved, and it's an important part. But we also can see that in the force of whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's conditional. Four. Got to do something. We can't just sit here and just say, "Well, I'm here. He's you know, I love Him. It's okay." We've got to accept Him. We've got to accept Him with a heart that says that we know what we're talking about and we know who we're talking about. But see, in Joel it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That places a condition. You know, the world's whosoever's. But they're saved whosoever's and they're lost whosoever's. So he's defined which whosoever. It's anybody that will call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever will do that is the thing that we need to look at. But also it talks about us in verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. If we ask, we have petitions. In verse 15, and we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, and we know we have petitions that we desired of Him. That we have petitions, that we know that God's going to hear us. God's going to take care of us. God's going to watch over us. God's going to do the things that work within us. I know a lot of prayers that I've gone out. I have not gotten an answer. I know of prayers that I've gotten an answer. And sometimes they're no, and sometimes they're maybe, and sometimes they're yes. Things have changed. Things do, because I know that. And I believe that if I go to the Lord with a petition, if I go to the Lord and ask It tells us he will. He'll hear us. And it's an important part of what we do. But we shall ask in prayer, believing. In Hebrews 10, verse 22, it says, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Whenever I've led somebody to the Lord, mid my salvation, I was brought up as 1, 2, 3, pray. And I finally, through study, realized that that's not just exactly right. So whenever I leave someone and they would accept Jesus, I'd say, what we're going to do now, and I explained it, salvation has happened. It's there. It's done. It's over. But what's the first thing, if somebody gives you a gift, what's the first thing you ought to do? You ought to write a thank you card, hadn't you? Well, I can't send a thank you card to the Lord. So I'd ask, you know, if within your heart and you're sincere about what you've just said, let's pray and thank God for the salvation that you've gotten, for the salvation that how what he's done for you. And that's the important part, is that we need to be sincere. We need to have a true heart. And we need to have our hearts seared from evil conscience, evil thoughts, things that shouldn't even be in our minds. This is the thirstiest I've ever been. Yeah. But, you know, in the verse it says, washed with pure water, just as if we're clean. Clean throughout, through in, and in our hearts. In Matthew 21:22 it says, "And all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive." It's believing. And it's not just believing. It's believing with a sincere heart. It's believing and knowing that we have a God that does want us to know what things are happening within our life, what things we need to know. He wants us to know these things. Now, I'll grant you that I go through in those earlier texts and we go through these genealogies about 16 miles and these offerings with the gold platter with so much gold and so much silver, and it gets a little bit repetitious, but he's got it there for a reason. I don't necessarily know that reason, and I probably will never know that reason, but he's got it there for a reason. And sometimes it's kind of hard to comprehend that, but I don't have to comprehend it. I believe it all happened. I believe it's there, and it's going to be there. But we need to know that he will hear us, and we need to know in confidence, within our heart, that God's there with us. And he's looking after us, and he's wanting us to know that you may know your life, your direction in life, the things that you need to know. But how do I get that? It all has to be right here. It can't be from Joel Osteen, and it can't be from Ken Copeland, and it can't be from all these others who are out there that are raking in the millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars and living a lifestyle that we can't even imagine. We need to have the confidence that he will answer our wishes, our needs or our desire to have things. I mean, my desire is that my son-in-law Reuben would he'd be healed and be done and have this all done and over with. I don't know that God's going to give me that. I don't know that. But I have the confidence that he's listening to me. I have the confidence that if it be with his will, that it will be done. But sometimes I don't know what God's will is, and neither do you. All we can do is pray that our prayer is being spoken to God with the understanding that we understand that if it's not his will, it's not going to happen. It's got to be his will. He doesn't change You and I are the ones that change. And so it's important that we look at that and know that. I know, I don't know how many times I've looked in terms of prayers and thought, well, man, he's never going to answer that prayer. But I also know that he's answered many prayers. He's looked after me. He's guided me. He's directed me. The first time Cheryl was sick, he was up in Arkansas. I had no idea what was going on. And I sat there and I had a severe case of the woe is me. You know, I mean, I was down. I was not. And then all of a sudden, God woke me up. He said, John, you just preached Isaiah 41, 10 and 13. I'm your friend and I'll hold your hand. I said, Lord, okay. I turn it over to you. And things changed for me right then. But I did get an answer. And I got a direction. And it's an important thing that we understand that. When we look at our King James Bible, and we as individuals and as a church group all know that it's all written before us. We weren't there. I don't want to use this imagination of the cowboy movies, supposing it's probably real. I want to know my Bible is real. And I want to have that knowledge without doubt. I want to realize that it's good, it's great, and it's the thing that I need. And it's not just because I need it, you need it too. But we need to have that confidence of knowing that it's God, and it's His Bible, and it's His Word. If I was to use my imagination in the Bible, how can I imagine the pain that Jesus felt just after his betrayal? Number one, because of the betrayal, but the beating he took before the cross, and then later nailed to the cross, and this horrible death. I can't imagine that. I can't imagine the pain that went through his body. And honestly, I don't want to know, but God has allowed us not to be able to feel that. And not to know it, because we'd have to feel it to really know it. But then I look at little King David. We refer to him as a little boy, but he was a grown man. But I can imagine when he stood before Goliath. I don't know if the rest of you men are like me, but sometimes in my daydreams and my night dreams, I'm a superhero, you know. I can be shot at and killed and have people murdered around me, but I'm not being murdered, and I'm going to do something about it. And well, you know, standing next to or with David, or even in David's place, I can imagine that maybe I could do just those things, that I could stand there. But then I get to thinking about Goliath. And I get to thinking about how me as a superhero. And I'm not one, okay? Do you know that? But when you stop and you look at these kind of things, if I took Goliath and I put him in front of me and let him represent my sins, all that I've committed and all that I'm doing as a sinner, I have to realize I couldn't have stood with David. I can't defeat this foe of sin in front of me. How on earth can I think that I could imagine that I could throw a pebble, disable a man, and then jump on the back of him and cut his head off? It's nice thinking superhero-wise, but realistically, when we stop and we think about all these things that are going through us and what we are. God simply requests us to know Jesus, and he asks us to repent daily and in our hearts believe and not imagine, but change to a pure belief. In Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now think about that word, the phrase, reasonable service. You know what Paul's reasonable service was? He lost his head, didn't he? Peter hung upside down on a cross. Many of the apostles killed. How many Christians were thrown into a lion's den? How many were murdered by just because? That was their reasonable service, to stand with the Lord. But what's he asking for you to do today? He's asking you to change your mind. Turn from what it was that you are to something better than you've ever been. It goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do I know God's will if I'm not praying? If I'm not reading my Bible? If I'm not doing something for God? How am I going to know that will? How am I going to know what he wants to know from me? How am I going to know that? I'm not. We have to do the things we have to do, but we need to not only read our Bible, but we need to meditate on some of these verses, think about some of these verses, and be what God would want us to be. Paul, and in these verses, he's begging. Beseeches would be considered begging. I'm going to have this whole bottle drinking around. He's begging believers, brethren. He's not talking to those other whosoevers. He's talking to you and I, brethren, those that have claimed Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, those that have become church members, baptized, things that we look at and we think about and what's going on. It's you and I. And it's what we need to do as individual Christians. We need to strengthen our faith. We need to strengthen our belief. We need to spend more time on our knees in prayer. We need to think about what it is that we're doing. And it's an important part is to think about what it says here, not what John Wayne says, or Durango Kid, or those others that nobody else knows who I'm talking about anyway. So, but you stop and you think about what's going on here. It's what you and I must do, and God, all he wants is that you know, and that you have eternal life, that through that belief and calling on the name of the Son of the Lord God, it's all yours. And there's nothing else that you can do but just call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we've called upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and believed that God had raised him from the dead, he was buried 3 days, 3 nights, raised again, God breathed that life back into him. And for 40 days, he roamed this earth and seen by more than 500. So we have a historical account. We have knowledge that things changed and things were there. So our Bible, the Word of God, is all written in my mind that you may know. That you know where you're at, what you're doing, from a perspective of God. I'm not talking about your job, and I'm not talking about anything else. I'm just talking about here, my salvation, your salvation, our walk with the Lord. It's important that we look and we think about our current bodies being a living sacrifice. That doesn't mean we have to have our head cut off. It doesn't mean we have to be shot. We don't have to do things like that. But it's to turn ourselves around to be better than what we are today. To walk out of here tonight, and as you sit down to pray tonight, ask the Lord to make you better, change you, do the things that you need to do. For us to change from imagining to believing the truth in the Word of God. We can't imagine, we got to believe. We got to know that it's what it is. So let's all pray. Dear Lord,